This is Spirit Network Radio, a BBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. Happy autumn equinox. Just a little factoid, the word equinox comes from the Latin words for equal night, the length of daytime, which being equal to the nighttime. The fall and spring equinoxes are only days of the year which the sun crosses the celestial equator, and I believe that happened just a little bit over an hour ago on the East Coast. The fall equinox is the time to give thanks to the universe for the summer's bountiful harvest, and it's also time to start thinking about getting those sweaters out. Today we have a lot to cover. Just one of the topics that we're going to talk about is controlled remote viewing, CRV. Don't know what it is? My special guests, John and Maggie, are going to explain that and a lot more. Before I introduce them, however, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor today. Today's show is brought to you by Health by Design Natural Clinic, with two locations in Leola and Quarryville, Pennsylvania. Visit healthbydesignnaturally.com or call 717-556-8103. Now, whether you're local or not to the South Central Pennsylvania area, be sure to like them on Facebook. They always post fascinating information to keep you educated about your health. Health by Design, where science and nature come together. If you would like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, there are many advertising opportunities available. Our shows are not just live, but they're archived on the BBS website, and podcast is available on iTunes, so your message plays on to reach many people long after the show has ended. Simply email radio@spiritnetwork.com. Now, I have two special guests today, as I mentioned, John Stewart and Maggie Schetz, who are teamed up not only in marriage as a couple, but they're also both gifted in several ways. I know that you might be thinking, Francine, you're a medium. Well, at some point I will be my own guest, but John and Maggie actually bring some very unique talents and offerings to the table here, which I really want to share with you. They are very interesting individuals and couple, and I know them personally. They're going to share information with us about psychic phenomena, their personal paths, and what they offer in services and information, and on John's specialty, controlled remote viewing, as I mentioned, aka CRV. They will also talk about their work as psychics and offer some case histories. Hopefully we'll have time for some stories. And you'll find John and Maggie at www.intuitiveconsultants.net. They offer hypnotherapy, Reiki, as well as readings, and a lot more. I want to also note that we will not be doing on-air readings today, but John and Maggie are very happy to answer any questions you have about their work in these fields. So if you have any questions about what they do or how they do it, please call the studio toll-free at 888-627-6008 or email your questions to radio@spiritnetwork.com. Well, that was a mouthful. Now I need a breather. So, John and Maggie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Francine.
Hello, Francine.
How are you?
We're doing fine. We're having a great day.
Great. Well, happy autumn equinox. Now, let's talk first about your backgrounds, and I'm going to ask each of you the same question, basically. John, let's start with you. Did you always have the interest in metaphysical pursuits, and how did you choose to get into this profession?
Well, I've always had an interest in human consciousness, and I've always had a desire to, in some respects, explore the unknown. So the two just, for me, have gone hand in hand. It's only been during the past 7 or 8 years that I've really made a concerted effort to explore human consciousness. I tend to be a very scientific individual, and my studies have fallen along that path. So I won't really describe myself as being a metaphysical type of person like some of your listeners may be accustomed to. Mm-hmm. I would see myself as more of a scientific explorer, if anything.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that in a little bit too, because I find that very unique and interesting. So when did you, so you became into this profession, and is this what you do? You know, I mean, this is where you're going as far as doing this for a living, and you help a lot of people, I'm sure.
Absolutely. This has been a very rewarding experience for me, actually an incredibly rewarding experience. I do not do this full time yet. This is a passion of mine.
Oh, I'm sure you're going there, though. I'm sure you're going there. You're getting very well known. And I mean, I don't know about household word, but you're definitely growing. And I see people ask about you. And, you know, I know that you're helping a lot of people. And we're going to talk about those services that you do offer, because you're pretty well diverse. And that's one of the unique things that I really wanted you to come on the show about. Let me just go over to Maggie for a minute. Maggie, how did you get onto this path? Is this something you were always interested in?
Actually, it was. As a young person, I had a variety of interesting experiences, and I was fortunate to have access to a lot of information and a lot of good books and a lot of good people. But as a late teen, I really pulled away from all psychic experiences and tried to live without it, but they kept breaking through. So about 7 years ago, I was living in a house that I saw an apparition in the middle of the day. And I could no longer deny the fact that I was having psychic experiences. Shortly after that, John and I took a trip to Gettysburg. We were with some friends who were gifted, and we were able to get some very interesting photographs and had interesting experiences. And shortly after that, John started with CRV training, and then we continued on with many different types of metaphysical training, bringing us to where we're now at the point where people are asking us to train them.
I know. Isn't that fantastic? All from that little vision you had. You know, when you're naturally gifted, things just open up and you just cannot deny it.
You can't deny it. Even when I was trying hard, it kept breaking through.
Well, now, as mediums who channel information, one of the things, as I mentioned, I find very unique is that you bring the element of science into it. And I know, Maggie, you also share that with John, as he mentioned. And it's more from the faith perspective, like I do. So can you explain from your perspective, or this perspective of science, about how you receive information and where it comes from? How do you process it?
Well, I think we are different than a lot of other light workers in that we're not as spirit-based, and we do see it from a scientific perspective. My understanding is that everything is really made up of energy. When you look at an atom, and we're all made up of a great conglomeration of atoms. An atom is really mostly space. If you had an atom the size of a football stadium, its nucleus would be the size of a grape, and its electrons the size of grains of sand. And all the rest of the content of the atom is space. And what holds it together is energy. String theory describes vibrations holding things together. And so I see that we're all put together out of this energy. Everything we touch, everything we see, even our thoughts are electrical. When they do an EEG, they can identify how you're responding through the electrical changes in your brain. So everything is made up of energy. And I believe that everything that's ever been known is stored forever, because I don't really see time as a straight line. I think time is a bit of an illusion, as Einstein explained. So all information that ever existed is available if you can learn how to tap into it. And a lot of what our effort has been is to learn how to tap into that consciousness source Carl Jung called it the cosmic unconscious.
Actually, collective
unconscious. Collective unconscious.
Yes.
Yeah, right. The collective unconscious. And so my understanding best fits in with those kind of theories. However, I'm pretty open to what might come next because I've learned a lot. I've changed a lot of really solid ideas that I thought I believed in, and I'm open to seeing what more I'm going to learn.
That's exciting. Do you think that maybe that we attach more human experience to what you mentioned? For instance, you talk about, you know, every moment being stored of every piece of information, you know, and then we talk about Akashic records and we talk about, you know, and I say we, but more traditional mediums, perhaps, so that they picture some, you know, hall of records with, you know, the old fashioned filing cabinet as if you have a chart on the soul, you know, when it's really kind of more of a microchip. I look at spirit guides and angels as my mode of information. Where does your information actually come from?
I think our information comes from tapping into that collective unconscious. And it could be very similar to the Akashic record. I think that there's a great similarity in their structure.
Yeah, don't you find like humans, I'm sorry, John, that humans actually need something to identify with? You know, so, and not to say it's made up, but it is, the illusion is necessary to make sense of things.
I would say that's very true to a lot of people, mediums and psychics and non-mediums and psychics. Many individuals call their cars Betsy, for instance. It's very common to attach human qualities to an inanimate object. So I would think it's very common to attach human qualities to an energetic field like the collective unconsciousness.
And I would imagine, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep interrupting you, aren't I? I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
He's used to it.
The early experiments with quantum physics started back in 1905 with Albert Einstein's published paper of special relativity, began to open the door to a real scientific explanation as to how psychic phenomena can occur, does occur. And in fact, if you are into quantum physics enough, you realize that it must occur. There must be these types of occurrences occurring and available to each of us. Otherwise, our view of quantum physics, which has now been studied for 125 years, would be completely incorrect.
Yeah, and I completely agree with the quantum physics. I mean, it's a fascinating topic. But I want to ask you about your work together as far as, you know, I've done tag team messages with other mediums in gallery style events. But imagine like as a couple already connected, you know, intimately, the dynamic it must be different. Do you read separately or do you always read together? Does that make you stronger, a stronger reading team?
I feel that reading together does make us a stronger reading team. We've had comments from our clients that readings with us is like getting two readings in one. Our gender differences at times do provide a different perspectives on the same life issue. We do very much, very frequently compliment each other.
That's fantastic. And I know that you do a lot of different services, and I do want to talk about each and every one of them. But I know that you're both well-rounded in your psychic profession. But, John, you also specialize in something called controlled remote viewing. Can you explain to us exactly what that is?
Well, controlled remote viewing is a mental faculty that allows the trained person, the viewer, to describe details about a target that is inaccessible from the normal senses due to time or even space. Control remote viewing was developed by the U.S. military during the Cold War of the 1970s and 80s after it was discovered that the Soviet Union was using psychics to steal American military secrets and plans. The CRV method teaches the viewer to communicate to their own subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind has access to an enormous amount of information. Yes, no, yet most people are only familiar with their subconscious while dreaming or under hypnosis. The CRV method, however, does not use dreams or hypnosis or any type of New Age realms. It simply teaches the viewer to communicate with their subconscious mind. And most viewers will write their perceptions down on paper. Learning the art of CRV is a lot like training for a martial art. It takes years of practice and dedication to become confident and competent. CRV is as much about learning about yourself and how the universe speaks to you as it is a method that transcends time and space. I found CRV personally to be very rewarding, very empowering. It has changed my perspective on myself and the world in which I exist in.
Wow. They know. You think that the government still uses them?
I can only offer my informal opinion that, yes, it is too valuable of a tool to simply ignore.
Right. So we might be like sneaking into Syria without actually physically being there. I imagine that. I feel like sometimes we have an intelligence as far as in the government that it's like, okay, I know you've got spies and things like that, but there's sometimes I just feel like, well, how did you know that? You know? And I know that, there's a science behind it. Can you tell us about the techniques that are used in this to see a target somewhere else?
Well, basically the technique, as I mentioned, is accessing and communicating to your own subconscious mind. No part of my physical or energetic body ever leaves myself to go to across town, to Syria, or wherever my intention may be. My subconscious mind informs me little by little by little, my conscious mind, what the intended target is. I've helped individuals find lost dogs, find lost many different types of lost items. I have never traveled to those areas, but my subconscious mind provided the details to my conscious awareness little by little. The method, as I've stated, is based on the idea that the subconscious mind has access to possibly all the information that there ever has been and ever will be. That I won't attest to. All I will say that it has an enormous amount of information available.
Well, let's like talk about an example, because
okay.
I mean, I have personally seen you in action. I have referred a couple of clients that were, you know, I can do some lost items and give them generalities, but I know that someone that's panicking over a lost dog, you know, I'm going to send them to you. That's just the way it is. Can you give us an example? Tell us a case history of so that we understand how this process works.
All right. About a year ago, September of last year, Maggie received an email from a very distraught client, as you've explained, that her little lost dog, a lovable little toy poodle, went missing. Despite searching for 2 days, a small army of volunteers, family members, very generous reward posters were posted around neighborhoods. There was no sign of this little dog whatsoever. When we received the call, actually Maggie received the call, she wrote down all the pertinent details and gave me the task to begin my CRV session. The only information I was given was to, quote, describe the location where Remy the dog could be found, unquote. That was the information that the target questioned to my subconscious mind. I sat down and performed my CRV session, which generally takes about an hour, more or less, depending on the situation and the client, writing down perception after perception after perception. I even included a little sketch of the area where I felt the proper search area would be. Gave this information to Maggie, who relayed this to the client. I think about a day or so later, we received an email from the client. Remy had been found. As it turned out, when this little dog ran away from home, he apparently sought refuge inside a neighbor's tool shed about a mile from his home, where he felt he was safe. Well, unknowingly, the neighbor locked the door behind him, and poor little Remy was inside the tool shed for 3 days and three nights without food or water. It's no wonder this army of volunteers had no idea, that no one had seen this little dog. But my descriptions and my sketch of the area brought the owners to the proper area, called out his name, and he heard a faint whimper and bark from inside the tool shed. You can imagine the owners, tool shed owner's surprise, getting a knock on the door at 6 a.m. Bring your key to the tool shed. Our dog is inside. Our dog is locked inside.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, and I had heard parts of that story before, but I really didn't know that ending where the owners go to where you said and called Remy's name.
Right, right. I wrote a magazine article about the rescue of Remy. It appeared in the spring issue of the Holistic Health magazine, and there may be a few of those issues still floating around.
Okay, maybe an even online article somewhere.
Yes, no
doubt. You never know. That's a very cool story. So Remy is very happy and healthy today, I'm sure.
Remy is very safe and sound.
Safe and
very
sound.
Very happy to be back with his family.
And have you had just as much success with, let's say, lost objects and jewelry? I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, contact you with their heirlooms and things that are sentimental.
I have had clients who have contacted me over missing mountain bikes, jewelry. I recently had a lady contact us about a missing flash drive, a computer flash drive.
Yeah, actually, I'm hoping that this is Liz, right, that you're talking about?
Yes.
And I'm hoping that she's going to call us. We don't have her on the line yet, but I'm looking. And then if she calls in and we can talk to her and get her perspective on your work, that would be awesome. But do tell your side of the story.
That would be terrific. Well, Liz is a published author, and she was very frantic because she had lost this flash drive. Flash drive contained about half of her next novel. Hours and hours and hours and hours worth of work was on this flash drive. She had contacted Maggie and explained that she thought she placed this flash drive in a very safe place somewhere in her dining room, away from the cats that were her pet cats. When she went to recover this flash drive, it was completely gone. So she had no idea where it could have been. I sat down and performed my CRV session. I got a clear, distinct impression that it was in a room facing east. It was next to a black cabinet of some sort on the floor, and there was a white organizer of some sort right next to this black cabinet. After a little bit of searching, after receiving these details, Liz found the flash drive on the floor. The cats apparently made a pleasant little toy out of this flash drive.
That's very cool. And you know what? I guess she must have been listening because we have Liz on line one. And why don't we patch her in? All right, Liz, you there?
Yes, I am. And I was just listening to John. This is like so awesome. You have no idea how I was pulling my hair out to find that darn thing.
That's amazing. So your cat made a cat toy.
Which was exactly what I was afraid would happen to it. And I swear, I thought, I put it away. It's not a usual place, but I'll just tuck it here. And what I probably did was I left it on the kitchen table where they had access to it.
Right.
And it's one of those flash drives with the string off of it so you can put it on your keychain.
Wow.
So, gosh, that's got to look like a mouse tail, right?
Is it? Tell me something, Liz. Where is it now? Is it on your keychain?
No, it is in my laptop, and when I'm done with you, I'm going back to finishing up this chapter.
Oh, my gosh.
Not just one manuscript on it. I had the other on it, too, And because I was more concerned at the time with version control, I had not backed up the latest versions onto my laptop or my desktop. So I was very, very depressed.
I could not find this. That's really scary when you've got something that important. Now we know who to call.
Oh, so, yes, we do.
Yeah. So can you give us you want to give us you're an author. You're already published, right?
I'm self-published, yes.
Yourself? Well, give us a little, what do you have out there now?
I write chick lit. I write easy beach reads. It's party cake. There is nothing heavy. Oh. There is nothing, this is not drama. This is just comedy.
Well, hey, listen, comedy is important. How will we distinguish it from drama? So, all right. So let's get your full name, Liz, so that we know we can find you on Amazon.
Okay. It's Liz, LizzLund. And the title of the book is Kitchen Addiction. And it's available in Kindle and as a paperback.
I got one of those.
I'm hoping to release this next one, now that I've had 2 to 3 weeks taken out of it, but I'm hoping to release it by Christmas.
And you will be backing it up and backing it up.
Oh, yes, I will.
A couple extra drives. Liz, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, Bye. You have a great day.
Bye.
Wow. That's, like, amazing. So what did you say it was in her closet?
It was in the closet in the back, but it was next to just where John described it would be.
Well, that's just what I wanted to know. You know, you talk about coming back and just getting another piece and getting – you really are building. You're using building blocks in your visions and then it just building on it, right?
Exactly, yes.
So for the closet, did you, like, see a square? Did you see – what did you actually see to create a big enough picture for Liz to understand?
I saw the black cabinet. I saw roughly the dimensions of the black cabinet, which I estimated. I saw a white organizing type of cabinet next to it, which turned out to be exactly as I described. The entire room had an easterly view. I'm not quite sure how to explain.
Second floor.
It was on the second floor as well. Well away from the dining area. During intuition, clairvoyance, and even CRV, there's a type of knowingness that comes through. I can't quite really explain that. There was nothing, there was not really a compass pointing easterly, but there was just a knowingness that it was on the second floor. It was an easterly view. The other details came through piece by piece for my subconscious to place together. I'm just very thankful that Liz found her flash drive.
Oh, my gosh. Well, like I said, you've helped a lot of people. You really have. Now, let me ask you this. Just before we close out the CRV, if there are people out there listening to this and, like, you know, I really want to learn that and learn more about it, do you have any resources or any books you would recommend or classes available?
I can recommend two books available on Amazon. One is by Sergeant Leonard Buchanan. It's called The Seventh Sense. Sergeant Buchanan was one of my CRV coaches and one of the original members of this Project Stargate program, the military's psychic spy program. So he has firsthand information to share with us. The other book I can recommend is by Dr. Russell Targ, and it's called The Reality of ESP. Dr. Targ was one of the pioneers in the development of the entire CRV process back in 1978, when the CIA came to Dr. Targ and his associates and explained, hey, we need something to counteract the Soviets' activities. So he was there from the very beginning. As far as classes, I would like to announce that my CRV instructor, Lori Williams, currently residing in Amarillo, Texas, plans on making a visit to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And if we could, your listening audience would like to have a class with Lori, she's willing to teach basic CRV. It is a 3-day class comprising 24 hours of instruction of personal professional instruction. This would be in Lancaster County, and a date hasn't been set, but I'm considering April or May of 2014. Mm-hmm. And the price per student would be $1,250. So if any of your listening audience would really have a desire to explore control remote viewing, this fascinating mental discipline, and have a willingness to grow themselves. One of the great things I found about CRV is that it has helped me change and grow on a level that has surprised me.
Wow, what an opportunity. Tell me something, if they're interested in this, finding out when the schedule will be and everything, how would they contact you directly?
They could contact Intuitive Consultants. Our number is 717-340-2121. Or they could go.
This is also, you can get a reading from John and Maggie too. So
absolutely. We also offer hypnotherapy as well as control remote viewing. Oh, yeah. They could go to our website, www.intuitiveconsultants.net.
Fantastic. And we'll give that information again before we go. And yes, I do want to talk about other areas, but I want to turn to Maggie for a second because she actually has a little specialty of her own. It's not probably something that you offer as a service though, correct? Maggie yes. actually bends spoons, and I have been privileged to see this personally, and I have in her presence tried myself, and it's just solid spoon, and these are not really flimsy spoons. I mean, you really do challenging, and she twists them around, and it just seems to be so easy. I want to know how that started, because I didn't have the privilege to see that.
Actually, that also started with Lori Williams and her husband, Jim. They were here teaching a CRV course in our home, and I had the opportunity. Jim had said that they would teach us this when they came up, so I went to Goodwill, and I picked up all the teaspoons they had and washed them up, and we were all ready when they came. And Jim tried to describe to me a little bit kind of the idea of that atomic structure and how things are really not solid, but mostly space. And as he's doing that, he's running his finger over the bridge of the spoon, and then whoop, just like that, he rolled it. And
wow.
I was really surprised. And so I sat and I tried it, and I do feel energy with my hands. I think a lot of people, probably many of your listeners, know what it feels like to have a chi ball or to have an energy ball in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I was holding my hands over the spoon and thinking about that feeling, and it's a very interesting experience. It still kind of surprises me each time, but all of a sudden the spoon will get a feeling like it's made of Play-Doh, and just like that, whoop, it'll just easily bend, and then it becomes very, very rigid again, so that I can hardly unbend it.
How long a time do you have before it gets like pliable, and then it hardens up again?
Oh, it's just a few seconds, although we were with some friends the other night, and their young son was sitting with us, and we were bending spoons, and he's mid-20s, maybe 23 years old, and he just sat down and said, okay, I'll try, and he picked up the spoon, and he had that thing, I don't know how much rigidity he had in it at all, because it was moving around like it was made of water. He just I'd never seen anything like it. It was just, it looked like it was made of rubber. And
so
then,
now
it got stiff. But I think it was probably at least a minute that he had this fluid state.
Oh, that's amazing. So did he make something very intricate as a result?
No, in the end, it looked like the rest of the bent spoons. But it was just really interesting to see him form it into one shape and then back it up and form it into another. It was amazing.
That is incredible. So it's good to know that I always picture the first time you did it, you just looked at a spoon and said, I think I'll bend that. I didn't know there was any training.
It was the same kind of training we gave you. It wasn't really any more than that.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I have to say, I didn't learn very well, or just, you know.
Well, it might come, but John and I have realized that spoon bending actually goes better in a group, that people are together. There's a, even I can't always sit down and bend a spoon. There's days I can and days I can't, I think.
Oh,
but when I'm together in a group, I always can.
No, that's really an energy, a group energy. And I've always felt that. I mean, group dynamics are incredible. And that's why I actually asked you if you reading together felt a lot stronger than reading individually. And so speaking of readings, let's talk about the other things now that you actually offer, because I want to make sure that we get your menu of services has been increasing over the years, for sure. So, and every time that I talk to you, you've just taken a class or gotten a certification, and so you're just growing by leaps and bounds. Now, I know hypnotherapy is a big part of your business as well, and so tell us a little bit about that, what you offer in that.
I do hypnotherapy here. I also do it out in the office at Your Inner Light in Lititz. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do clients out there. I can do – John and I are both trained in hypnotherapy, but it seems that his specialty is the CRV and my specialty is the hypnotherapy.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you have to be individuals too.
Well, we're also both certified in neuro-linguistic programming, which is a really in-depth accessory for hypnotherapy. We can do hypnotherapy for clients for things like weight loss and stop smoking. We've done it for physical issues. We've done it for people with pain. But mostly I think what we do is past life regressions. People just enjoy doing past life regressions. People even buy past life regressions for friends for birthdays and stuff.
No, it's a very popular field. I do past life regression myself. But is it in hypnotherapy, is it like you're healing a past life, or are you just, I mean, are they just doing this for entertainment, and is that different than like a hypnosis? Is a regression
Even with regression, we can go back and heal things. And I've seen people who come to me with an issue and don't know why. They maybe they have trouble swallowing, or they're terrified of heights, or they have a physical problem. And so what we'll do is we'll take them back and we'll create the target as, how do you say,
the initial sensitizing moment.
Initial sensitizing event or initial sensitizing moment. So that would be our target. And so we go back, and if someone has trouble swallowing, we'll go back and say, where did this first start? And whether it occurs in this lifetime or in a previous lifetime, that's our goal. So oftentimes, once a person gets back and revisits the event that caused their response, its future, that response really diminishes and becomes less and less until it's not a problem at all. Sometimes it happens immediately that a person will go back and have a recollection or an experience where they know why this is happening to them, and immediately it's gone and never comes back. Other times it takes people a little while to assimilate, or they may use a series of hypnotherapies or past lives to completely eradicate the problem.
Very, very cool. So I'm going to reel it back a little bit about the weight loss. So I didn't know you're holding out on me.
Yeah. So
I might be giving you a call.
We can work on that if you want.
Okay. So, boy, the menu, you still have other things to tell me. What else do you actually offer at your office or at Inner Light? You do
Most often we do clairvoyant readings, and we do that for individuals or couples, and like you mentioned, we do it together. I love reading with John. We really do complement each other. We both have particular strengths, and reading together, a lot of times he'll bring up something that I'm not even seeing, but once he says it, bingo, I've got it. But I see a different facet of it, and so we're really able to give people a well-rounded reading together that way. And we read with your Ayoshi cards as well. We're good friends with your Ayoshi cards.
I'll do that commercial after I say goodbye to you. I'll stay on your time for now. But thank you very much. And I I do love those cards. I do have a lot of professional readers as well as amateurs that like those cards, and they're a good tool. They're a good, easy tool to make your own. And
for several of my friends to begin with, and they've enjoyed them.
Yeah, and I have a lot of clients. I've said, well, why don't you try these cards? Well, no, that's what I have you for. So they probably will always have their place in the profession. Yeah. So you do cards, and you do clairvoyant, which means you bring in other loved ones from the other side.
Yes, we do.
So you help sort of grief support.
And sometimes we do straight mediumship to bring in past loved ones and sometimes bring some fabulous messages to people that really, really confirm to them what they need to know. I remember my first mediumship experience was during a reading. I wasn't really trying, but all of a sudden, there he was, and I could see this gentleman, and I was able to describe him, his dress, his posture. And as I'm describing this man to his daughter, I started speaking with a Scottish brogue. And I first thought, like, I need a drink of water. I'm mispronouncing words. But then it happened again. And then she told me, no, my father was a first-generation American, and he did speak with a brogue. And I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, well, you got to have a few hits to validate that you're doing well. And yeah. You also, you do readings in person, but do you offer them on phone and Skype as well?
We offer readings on phone and Skype, and we go to people's homes and do parties.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, now we had to do your contact information again, because now people are like, oh, I need that. Somewhere in the menu, everybody needs you. So if they need to contact you to get either a party going or readings or one of your other services, how will they contact you?
All right. Clairvoyant parties are very popular, it seems. Everyone has a lot of fun at these, and it's very educational as well. Our contact number is 717-340-2121, or they could go to our website, www.intuitiveconsultants.net.
Or like us on Facebook.
And absolutely.
Yes, our Facebook site as well, Intuitive Consultants. We're on Facebook.
And you have so many things that you offer. I didn't even mention that you also do Reiki.
We haven't really seen as many clients for Reiki for really quite a while, it seems. And that's fine. We still do it. Sometimes we do it just as we're going along without any just as part of our life, you know. When you can heal somebody, you heal somebody, you know.
Right. Well, I do believe the universe sends you where you're supposed to go. You know, I mean, I'm a Reiki too, and I have not really used it for many, many years. So,
but it's just to have in the toolbox.
It's another certificate. So
you're just going to psychometry as well.
What's next for you as far as learning?
Oh, tarot.
Oh, yes.
I've been reading tarot with a friend for a few years, but I haven't read publicly. So I'm going to start a training in York at New Visions Books.
Mm-hmm. At York, PA. Uh-huh.
Then after I'm done with that, then I'll offer tarot readings to the clients that I see as well.
And I should actually just make sure that people know that you're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Lancaster, PA. And so just that they're thinking, well, where would I get this reading from? Okay. So if you're not in the South Central Pennsylvania area, definitely go to their website. It's intuitiveconsultants.net, and that has all their other contact information. John and Maggie, it was so great to have you on the show and to talk about your work and your passions. And I really appreciate it. You'll come back, okay?
A pleasure as always.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you for coming on and being so informative. And I'm sure that people will call you, and I will plug you. I'll just keep plugging you.
Thank you, Francie.
Take care. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Francie.
Bye. Now, before we go, I want to talk to you about those Ayoshi cards. As a matter of fact, if you haven't had your free online reading yet, go to ayoshicards.com, and I definitely will spell that for you. That's ioshicards.com. You can also reach that link from spiritnetwork.com. If you're having problems in relationships, jobs, money issues, simply ask a question, click on the three cards, and your answer will be revealed. The Ayoshi cards were actually channeled by one of my closest guides, Ayoshi, and he really wanted me to offer a tool that people could use for guidance and empowerment. And so I get a lot of compliments online, and as Maggie said, that she uses them in her readings as well. And I get a lot of compliments about the online oracle as well as that physical deck. But I really can't take much credit for it, obviously. I mean, Ayoshi even chose the artwork, actually. So go to ayoshicards.com or spiritnetwork.com and try that free reading. And please let me know what you think about that, okay? Now, if you would like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, we have many advertising options. Just email radio@spiritnetwork.com. It's not just about the listening audience, the live audience, but this show will be played over and over and over again in archives on the BBS site at bbsradio.com, as well as iTunes, that you can download the podcast, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it's getting late. So I want to say that today's show is brought to you by Health by Design Natural Clinic. They have two locations in Leola and Quarryville, Pennsylvania, South Central PA. So visit healthbydesignnaturally.com or call 717-556-8103. Now, even if you're not local, check out their blog and their Facebook and get informed about your health. A lot of information about GMOs and everything from that to hormones. They consult on nutrition and, you know, if whatever you're going through, they've got answers for you, okay? Very holistic, great people. And Health by Design is where science and nature come together. Thanks for being here, friends. And thanks to John and Maggie. And you can reach them at intuitiveconsultants.net. Much love. Bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at francinemilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.